Okay, good evening, everyone. So tonight I would like to move on to the halachas of nikiyus yadayim, of what is required for one's hands to be clean, or the halacha that one's hands need to be clean, halachically clean, when davening or saying brachos or learning Torah, again, any dvarim shebe kedusha. And like to discuss what would make a person's hands unclean and how he remedies that, etc. So the first thing, now the truth is, when it comes to davening Shmona Esrei, that's a separate din that a person has to wash his hands for davening. So we're not really focusing on that. Focusing on brachos and bracha, even not a bracha part of davening necessarily, even just a bracha on food or the brachas at the beginning of davening, which aren't part of Shmona Esrei. And we're focusing on learning Torah or saying dvarim shebe kedusha. So there are two concepts within the halachas of hands that are considered halachically not clean. They could be not clean in the sense that they could be ruach ra on them. Certain things if a person does puts ruach ra on his hands. Ruach ra is not a physical thing. It's a halachic reality, halachic mitzius, and it has to be remedied at certain points, as we'll see. And then there's a concept of hands simply being not clean, of being not nucky for davening, that they don't have ruach ra, but they consider to have certain, by touching certain things, coming in contact with certain things, the hands are considered unclean and have to be remedied before one could say a bracha or learn Torah. Now there's a big difference between situations where the hands get ruach ra on them and when the hands are simply considered not clean. And first of all, ruach ra could only be removed by washing. And we'll talk about washing with water. That's the only, by, if you wipe your hands on something, even abrasive substance, on wood or on material, it's not going to take off ruach ra. Whereas if your hands are considered unclean, then that could be remedied. That doesn't necessarily require washing. Washing is certainly one way to remove the status of unclean and to make your hands nucky for davening. Again, I don't mean davening Shmona Esrei, but for brachos. But it's not the only way. It's not the only way. You could, if you rub your hands on the halacha calls kol midi de menaki, anything that cleanses. You rub your hands on a talis yavesh, on a garment, on a tri beged, or you rub your hands on something wood, or any hard substance that you rub your hands against, but carefully, not just you rub your hands carefully on the entire hand, both hands. Then that cleans the hands, and then one is allowed to say brachos and learn it. And it's smashed from the Mishnah Berurah, and it's smashed in a couple of places that's even good lechatchila, meaning even if you have the option or the ability to wash them in water, you don't have to. Now, when we're not talking about Fidav and Shmona Esrei, but we're talking about in order to say brachos and learn Torah, it is sufficient to do that and to clean it, to clean them off that way. Whereas I said, if there's ruach ra, won't come off that way. However, ruach ra, min hadin, according to the halacha, the Torah's ha-nigla, ruach ra is not an impediment to saying brachos or to learning. You're allowed to learn with ruach ra in your hands. Ruach ra you have to remove because it's considered to be something damaging, spiritually damaging to the to the neshama. So if you have ruach ra on your hands and you're able to remove it, then you're supposed to do so. And you're supposed to do so right away. You're supposed to wash them off right away to wash off the ruach ra. But on the other hand, if you can't, you can go right ahead and learn and say brachas. There's no problem. The ruach ra doesn't stop that. Whereas, as I said, if you touch something that makes your hands halachically unclean, but doesn't put ruach ra, there's no requirement to take care of it right away. If you're not learning or you're not saying brachas, you're in the middle of doing something else, you're in the middle of working, doing something, and your hands become unclean, you don't have to worry about cleaning them right away, as long as you're not going to say Shem Hashem, say a bracha, say learning, say Divrei Torah, you don't have to clean them. But as I said, cleaning them does not necessarily involve water. So those are those are the two categories. Which are very bekitzer. Again, ruach ra is something that you should try to take care of right away if you get ruach on your hands. And we'll discuss what puts ruach. You should try to take care of it right away if you get ruach on your hands. But on the other hand, it doesn't stop you from learning of the same brachas. So if you can't remedy it, you can go right ahead. You don't have to rub your hands on anything. Rub your hands is not going to take off the ruach ra, but you don't need to take it off in order to learn. Whereas the other way, when it comes, your hands are unclean, you do need to take it off in order to learn what to say brachas. But taking it off could be done just by wiping it on a hard substance. And also, if you're not learning or not saying brachas, then there's no need to rush and do it. It's not damaging. It's not destructive to the person. It's just a din that you have to do it before you learn. Now, in that regard, I do want to share. I hope I brought these. There's an igeres from the Chazon Ish. In the first chelik, Kovitz Igros of the Chazon Ish, chelik Aleph Simen Dalid, where he's talking about Limud HaTorah, and he says, Kein tzrichim lase slave, a person has to be conscientious and aware, lihi zoher, mimafsidim, to protect himself, to guard himself from things that are caused, mafsidim, things that take away from his success in learning, tivim, natural, such as, you know, partial distractions, like learning in a place where there's a lot going on, and which is distracting your attention and making it hard to focus, and things like that. Uskuliyim, and things which are mafsid your hatslacha, your success in learning from a sguladika perspective, not a simply understood natural b'teva reason, but a school to take away. And he says, min haskulim, amongst the things that are in the world of school, which means a school, it means, say, it's not something we could explain. It's just that is the metzias and the velt, the spiritual metzias, that these things are deterrents to success in learning. Min haskulim, shelo lahakel b'ntil shadayim, that a person should not be lenient concerning the laws of b'ntil shadayim hamivu arim b'shulchan aruch, that are defined in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Umaod hechmiru bazet." The poskim and the Shulchan Aruch and the poskim were very machmir about this. Kibuvur b'Shulchan Aruch Aruchayim Simen Dalid, and gives a couple of one or two examples. But then at the end says, "The end." He says, "Vizehu bechlal tahara hamaviyah lidei kedusha." Being careful about these things is in the gather, in the category of tahara, of a form of purity, hameviyah lidei kedusha, which Chazal say tahara hameviyah lidei kedusha. And then it's brought just to reinforce that, this is a sefer Shari Aaron by Rabbi Aaron Rotter. He has a whole set on Chumash. You may have seen many volumes on Chumash, Brown Svarim Shari Aaron on Chumash, but he also has on Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. And at the beginning of the first Chelik of Arachayim, there's a kuntres there called Shari Ish, which are different things that he observed of or learned from the Chazon Ish. And he writes there, in the Os Aleph, he writes that Rabbeinu, meaning the Chazon Ish, hayaragel lehazhir tamid, he would constantly warn us, caution us, shalolechaz megula lemala miperek hazroa shalyad, that be careful that your arms should not be exposed from your elbow and up. Shouldn't wear sleeves which are short enough that they expose a portion of the upper arm. Mikivan shekoshel lehishomer b'shas halimud, because it's difficult if you're wearing very short sleeves, it's difficult to be careful when you're learning shelo liga, not to touch b'mekomas hamechusim. Like you're wearing long sleeves, but right, you're sitting like this. Which, so if you were wearing short sleeves, you'd be touching. That's fine. You're wearing a sleeve, but otherwise you'd be touching your arm above the elbow, which is one of the things that the Chazon Ish says that's considered a mokum mechusa. That's considered an area that's normally covered, even on a man, and is supposed to be covered, and therefore, or if you touch it, you have to wash your hands before you can learn. You're not allowed to learn. That's not ruach ra. It's nikias. That's nikias. Touching an area that's normally covered. Now we'll talk more about that example, but the Chazon Ish is in the Igeres that I mentioned before. He also mentions this example. He says, "Umin dikto ka halacha," part being particular about the halacha. Shelo ye chatzitzas. I'm sorry. Ulamala mi perik hazrael shel yad. Above the elbow, I believe when he says yet, he means the elbow. I don't think he means the wrist. The head. I don't think he means that. I think he means the elbow, above the elbow, and that's certainly what most of the poskim are talking about. Bechlal mokum mechusa, that is considered mokum mechusa. Af sherabu megule kol hayad butla daita, even though there are many people that don't cover it, butla daita. I really, looking at these words now, Perek Hazrael Shel Yad, one possibly could interpret that to mean above the wrist, and then that's what he's saying. Many people wear short sleeves, and it's they're exposed from the elbow down. But Lamaisa, that's not the way I've seen in the Ishei Yisrael and in the Shari Aaron written down here. Also, that they understand the Chazon Ish to mean the upper arm, that the upper arm from the elbow and up is a makom mechusa, and touching there would require netil shadayim, or at least cleaning the hands. Let's clean the hands in order for a person to learn. And if he doesn't do that, says the Chazon Ish, that's something that could affect his hatzlacha in learning, besides the fact that it's an isser. He's doing the wrong thing. He's doing an isser. He's not being medaktik in halacha. He's falling short in his halachic obligation, but it also could have an effect on his hatzlacha in learning. I know that... Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who was a very Talmud Mufik of the Chazon Ish, was makpid on this. Just amongst other, a chaver of mine told me that he once had this chus of having Rav Chaim being a sandik at one of his son's brisim. It was done at Rav Chaim's home. This is what he did, at least in the last stage of his life. He would. You'd be a sandik if you, brought the baby to him. And then it was a daily occurrence. I think that there were multiple brisim going on because people wanted the schus of having a gadol of his stature being the sandik of the son. Anyway, so this friend of mine he did a brisim, and then afterwards he brought his other children over to get a bracha, and his other sons. And one son was a young boy. I don't remember how old, but I think young, 3 years old, 3-4 years old, young boy. And he was wearing short sleeves, so Rav Chaim wouldn't give him a bracha. He's wearing short sleeves, and he's a little kid, but so my friend took off his own jacket and put it on his son. So his son came back in front of Rav Chaim wearing his father's big jacket. Rav Chaim smiled and gave him the bracha. It's covered. Doesn't say you can't be wearing his father's jacket. Okay. In any case, so the Chazon Ish was very, as we see from Rav Aaron Rutter, the Shari Aaron, the Chazon Ish would make a big point of his Rogel Lahazir. He would constantly caution them not to wear short sleeves when learning. I mean, not even wear them, because it's going to be very difficult to be careful not to touch above your elbow, and then you're going to, if you do that, you might not even realize, and then it's going to interfere with your hatzlacha and learning, etc. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things where it's nogeya. So in terms of Ruach Ra, so the prime case of Ruach Ra is when you sleep at night and you wake up in the morning, so you have Ruach on your hands. That's the Gemara Masechah Shabbos. That is the most severe form of Ruach Ra. That Ruach Ra, besides the fact that it only comes off with water, Til Shadayim, but it has to be Til Shadayim with a coast 3 times, right? You have to wash 3 times, and right, left. Yeah, in other words, not even just 3-3, as the one and one, 2 and 2, 3 and 3. And you have to do it after that. When some people wash a 4th time, I'll be the Minhag HaGrah in order to wash off the water that was left after the 3rd time, the water itself has the remnants of the Ruach Ra, so they wash a 4th time. But that's the only way to get off that Ruach Ra, washing and washing 3 times. There are other forms of Ruach Ra which aren't as severe. There are one who cuts one's hair, or one who gets his hair cut by someone else. You take your hair cut, you get Ruach Ra on your hands. A school edict. This is not a physical thing. You didn't even touch your hair, but your hair was cut. You get Ruach Ra. You cut your nails, clip your nails with a keli. There's Ruach Ra. on your hands. And these, again, these are examples of Ruach Ra that require washing. You can't just wipe them off on something. If you're as I said before, if you're unable to wash them, and you're still allowed to learn. Now, I should add at this point, I mentioned before that it's Alpi Halach, Alpi Nigla. Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi the Zohar, one should not learn or say Shem Hashem even when it's just Ruach Ra. Alpi Zohar, one should be Nizhar to wash off the Ruach Ra before learning. But that's not Halach, and the Mishnah Berurah points out very clearly that, let's say, one wakes up in the morning and he doesn't have water. No, it doesn't. Baruch Hashem, it's not the most common scenario in our living circumstances, but it once was a much bigger problem, and it could be a problem. I mean, sometimes people the water shut off, or for some reason, or sometimes you're out, whether you're camping or you're whatever it is, you spend the night somewhere where you don't have all the luxuries of your home. Maybe you went on a trip somewhere and you just pulled off the side of the road and you slept in your car, and you lie down on the bench. You took a mamash shanis kevah, you get ruach ra, and you wake up in the morning and you don't have water right away, and you have to go travel somewhere first to get to find the place where there's water where you can wash your hands. So the Mishnah Berurah is very clear. In the meantime, chas v'shalom not to be mevatel from learning just because it's ruach ra and you can't wash your hands. If your hands are also dirty, which at night they're assumed to be, if you sleep, if you're not like fully covered and you're buttoned up clothes, normally we say your hands get dirty during the night also because you touch covered parts of the body.
Very. According
to the rush,
though.
According to the rush, that's the reason for washing in the morning with a bracha. Wash for davening.
According to the rush, but anyway, saying anyways, your hands still get dirty.
Yeah, because it was just that the Chazal weren't misaking a mitzvah with a bracha on it. But everyone agrees that but anyway, halacha lemaaseh shouldn't consider dirty. So you have to wipe them off on something if you don't have water. But that's not a big deal to wipe them off on. You could use the seat of your car. You could use your jacket. You could pull your shirt tail out and use that. I mean, if you need to do. No shortage of things to wipe your hands on to get them clean. That does remove the Ruach Ra, but says the Mishnah Berurah, but so what? If you don't have water, sit and learn. You sit and learn anyway. Don't say, my hands are dirty, or Ruach Ra, I can't learn. That's not true, and that's wrong. That would be Bittul Torah. Okay, so, but to remove it, it removes Ruach Ra. To remove that Ruach Ra requires washing with water three times. The other Ruach Ras don't require three times. They require washing, and it's proper to do it with a keli. But it doesn't have to be three times. You can wash one time. So you cut your nails, you wash your hands one time, and that's all you need to do. You took a haircut, you wash your hands one time. You do not have to wash your hands three times.
Cemetery.
So the Mishnah Berurah towards the end of Siman Dalet in Sifkat and Lamites, he says, "The Ein Tzarich Shalosh Pa'amim, you do not need to wash three times. Ki'im, unless becoming amita." Except when you got up in the morning. V'yesh machmirin b'holech bein hamesim. Some are machmir by a person who goes to a cemetery, walks amongst graves. U'meshamish mitasa, or a person that has marital relations. To be'inan gam, but kein shalosh pam. Some say those also require washing three times. Okay, yesh machmirin on that. So then he says, Uvesefer Heichal Hakodesh Machmir Biyotzi Mebeis Hakisei Shalosh Pam. That person who left the Beis Hakisei, let's say he even relieved himself of the Beis Hakisei, requires three times. Uvemagen Avram Sasa Dvarav. Avram contradicted him. Disagrees with that. Says no, you don't need three times. You use the Beis Hakisei. You have to wash your hands. There's Ruach Ra, and it's even proper to use a kos. It's not mukhrach that you have to use a keli, but it's a proper hanaga. Proper this way, it's proper to use a kos, but you don't need three times.
Can one washing get rid of both, like the problem of nikias and mukhrach?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it works. It takes care of everything. Yes. So now, while we're here, by the way, he says yotzi beis hakisei. Technically, al pi din, even if you just walked into a beis hakisei. When you walk out, you have to wash. Even if you didn't use it, you walked in there for whatever reason. You have to wash your hands when you come out. There's a shail in the poskim if that still applies nowadays. I mean, does that apply to our bathrooms, which are different than they were in the time of Chazal, in the sense that it's not just an outhouse, which is just a place to relieve yourself, but it has plumbing, which removes the tzoa and whatever other substances are there get flushed away, or pretty much right away. So this al shaila whether that's considered like what the Gemara calls but the kisei shall parsiim, in which might have a different din where ruach ra. So there's a shaila where perhaps in these types of bathrooms ruach ra doesn't apply. So if you go to the base case and relieve yourself, you definitely have to wash your hands. But when you should come out and wash your hands. If you just walked in, so that's a shaila. It's a minig tov. It's a davar tov to do that, to wash your hands, even if you just walked into the basic kisa. You went in to brush your teeth, or you went in to get a tissue, or you went in to bring a child and bring out the child, but you didn't get your hands dirty at all. It's still proper to do it, but we don't consider maker adin. The maker adin minig olam is to be makel. You just walked into the bathroom, something that you don't have to wash your hands.
You're saying without a kela, you can just.
Yeah, but I'm saying, the minig olam is not even, is to be makel altogether. But it's definitely a minig tover. Maishas a tshuva about this. Everyone knows it's a well addressed, a widely addressed area. And as I said, it's a davar tov lahachmir b'zeh. But we don't consider it to be meikar adin. Okay, so those are things. The things I mentioned definitely have ruach ra. Besides, when you get up in the morning cutting your nails and cutting your hair, using the basic kisei, being in the basic kvaros, these things definitely have ruach ra. There are many other things which require washing, which bipshuto are not al ruach ra, though there is a machlokus about some of them. But if you learn the Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah, you'll see that it considers that most of them are not ruach ra, but it's just a question of nikias. For example, if you touch your shoes or put your shoes on or off, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it seems that it's just a question of nikias. Now the post can still say, even though it's nikias, that doesn't mean that if your shoes are clean that it's okay. No, once they're shoes that have been worn, when they're not brand new shoes from, straight out of the box in the shoe store. They've been worn already, so that even though they are fairly clean, or even if you touch the top of them, which is pretty clean, you still have to wash your hands. Or clean your hands. Or like I said, since if we're going with the shita that's not ruach ra, you would not necessarily have to wash your hands, you just have to clean your hands off. If you touch the shoe laces alone, without the shoes, let's say your shoelaces get untied and you want to tie them, and you don't want to have to clean your hands, so you're careful just to touch the shoelaces. So in that, a number of poskim, many poskim are makel on that. You don't have to wash your hands. And one of the svarim brings for, say for Yavakshim, Epiyo brings from Baba Yashiv, they said, that's true, but I didn't, but after picking, there's a minug to wash your hands, or at least clean them off. But he says it's mitzad minug, not mitzad adin. What about, does this only apply to leather shoes, or is it applied to let's say, plastic shoes, or like Crocs, or sneaker material? So on that, there's a machlokas poskim as well. The Sefer Erech Shai and the Chazon Ish are makel in that. This is brought in the Isha Yisrael, that they were makel, and said that the problem only is, or the halacha only applies to touching leather shoes, but the Ben Ish Chai is machmir, and this sefer that I quoted, Rav Shmuel Piyo brings from Yashav, that he was machmir on that as well, that he says it's irrelevant what type of shoe, same thing, it's with a sneaker or a Crocs or anything like that, is all has the same din, that you would, your hands would become not nucky and they would have to be clean.
Is it interesting that the laces are better than the top of the shoe? The laces, if it gets untied, it's definitely going on the floor. The top of the shoe, it's cleaner than the laces.
Right, but the point is the lace is not the shoe. It's not the part of the shoe. It's an appendage to the shoe. It's not the shoe. The shoe, the halach is, you touch your shoe, it's a din. It's a din that your hands are clean, considered unclean. Mm-hmm. But it's not the shoe itself.
In regards to the different materials for the shoe, I must tell you,
when I was growing up, I was always taught that it's not a problem, that it's only by leather shoes. But I think that's a popular approach, but as I said, it's definitely a machlokas. One is makel, and that is definitely good company. I mean, so going back now, we mentioned that touching covered parts of the body, so there as well. The approach of the Mishnah Berurah is that it's a problem nikias alone, not ruach ra. So does it apply above the elbow? So we mentioned from the Chazon Ish that says very very strongly that it does. I saw that on this Rabbi Yashiv is Mekel, that at least for a person who wears sleeves that end somewhere above the elbow, and he's touching the part that's typically uncovered, and that's where there are a number of poskim that are Mekel. Besides Rabbi Yashiv, because Rabbi Yashiv is even making a little bit more, that as long as it's not milmulei zeh, as long as it's not a place that has a lot of perspiration there, so that might even be, you know, a little further up, even if it is somewhat covered, or even if you personally usually do cover it, but it's not milmulei zeh. But others are mechalel.
Well, what were you planning to fill in if you accidentally touch?
Okay, so very good. So there are three shittas on that question. There are those that say it's a problem because touching above your elbow is a problem. And I believe the Chazon Ish is amongst them. He's definitely amongst them in general. I think he's brought down in his name that it makes no difference whether it's when you're putting on tefillah or not. And we know there are those that are knowing, some are knowing as a standard practice after they put on the tefillah, they wash their hands they take a little bit of water and just, you know, cleanse a little. Their right hand. Although by most of the cases it says that if you get your hands, even one hand dirty, you have to wash both of them. But certainly by Ruach Ra, if you touch something like, but most of the Ruach Ra cases, you cut your nails in one hand or something like that. But in any case, so one sheet is that it's a problem. The other sheet is that it's not a problem, so just continue before you even get to the fill-in. I was just wanted to mention a couple of other Mekilim, Bechal, by touching above the elbow, the Halicha Shlomo, it's mashmig, and that Rosh Hashanah Zalman is talking about this when he says Chelik Shel Azra Sharugal Yos Megula does not require Tel Shadayim. He says Yesh Makom L'Hachmir, but seems to be Mekel, assuming again that he means above the elbow. And the Sefer Zosher Bracha brings from the Morik Tzia, which was the Ivitz. And the Orchas Chaim, Ben Yishchai, all Mekel on this, and above the elbow. Okay, then there's a third shita that even if you're normally Machmir, but on your left arm where you put tefillin, that's considered a Makom Megula, since it's frequently, on a daily basis, 6 out of 7 days a week, most weeks of the year, it's uncovered, it's exposed to put on your tefillin, so that's not considered a Makom Megula. So even if you touch your right arm, above that, you got to wash your hands. Or a woman would touch her arm, she'd have to wash her hands. Woman certainly has to be covered. But for a man to touch his left arm, or I guess if he's a lefty, to touch his right arm, would not have to wash his hands because that's commonly exposed. It happens to be there's even a sheet that brought that a woman's who nurses a baby, even if she touches her upper body, doesn't have to wash her hands because it's frequently exposed to nurse the baby. Not everyone agrees to that because it may be exposed for that, but it's certainly covered the vast majority of the time. And even when a woman's nursing a baby, frequently she'll, you know, see to it that it's covered. Certainly, it's not in a perfectly private place, but even if it is, it's a derech tznius to keep it covered. But just to mention, there is a day you're brought down like that. Okay, al kapanim, it's a good practice to wash, you know, to be careful not to touch above your elbow. Like we saw the Chazanish was very makpid on it, and he said, you want to be matzliach and learning. This is one thing, it's not everything, but there's one thing to be makbid on. Make sure your hands are properly clean for learning. Now, but I should point out, if you're in the middle of learning, especially if you're learning with a harusa, but you're in the middle of learning, and you find yourself, you touch your shoe, or maybe you move your hand down beneath where the shirt's normally closed, and you touched it with something, and you have to clean your hands. You can definitely, like we said from the Mishnah before, clean them on something around. Clean them on your seat or on your stender or on your jacket. You don't have to get up in the middle of learning and go over to a sink and, you know, for tefillah, yes, you know, you should make sure before you know, if you're learning and then you're gonna go right away to daven. So before davening, wash your hands. But for learning, you don't have to interrupt in the middle. Wipe your hands on something and that'll be, you know, that'll solve the problem and you'll cause, you know, less pitul
tera. Wiping one's hands on the table and the chair, that helps for shmanasri as well.
Right? No, I think that for shmanasri they would need to require netilah.
What? That's because of nikias, or I mean, because of too much.
But it's a special because of nikias, but it's a special din for tefillah. For tefillah, it's a higher requirement.
Okay.
that it needs to be washed whenever that's feasible. Okay, some other examples or that are a discussion are, what about touching that which the one's the filth from one's nose, or the wax from one's ears? That's a shy. These both are both shilas and poskim if they are considered to be substances which make the hands halachically dirty. Certainly shouldn't have it on your hands when you're learning, but if you just touch it, and it's especially if it's dry already, if it's not touching it, a particular person who actually inserts his finger into the air, into the nose, then he should wash his hands. But if there's a, it was called soas ha'af, soas ha'af, that soaf that the af produces, which is which is not inside the af, the af is the nose, it's not inside the nose, that's a machlokas. There's meikaridin, it sounds like we make it on that as well, but you know, there's nothing lost, no harm in cleaning one's hands you know, for that as well. Now there's a shaila in the poskim about, what about if you on a, if you touch a young child, a baby, or a very young child who is typically goes with more of his body exposed than an adult does. He walks around, half the time walks around just in a diaper, or even if it's more than a diaper, but certainly without sleeves and very short, short-legged pants, or just like a, you know, what they call a onesie, or a sleeper, these types of things, which, you know, babies, it's very, very common that when there's a baby around, excuse me, you lift up the baby, you're going to be touching places that are normally, which on an adult would normally be covered, on the baby they're not. So that's again a machlokas poskim. There's Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was mekel on that if it's a young baby who's I think he was mekel till 3 years old, some simply phrase it as places that are normally on that child are normally not covered. For a child, it's normal, it's usual, it's typical for it to be exposed. It's brought a number of sources bring from Obayasha that is Mekel as well, although it says that, but not if it's an area which is particularly where there is a accumulation of perspiration. If you touch perspiration on the baby, even if it's a place that's normally uncovered, but it's, you know, that's, he doesn't usually wear a shirt, but you pick him up, you know, you put your hands under his arms and there's perspiration, and then you would have to wash your hands. But otherwise, just touching his arms, even the tops of his arms, or touching his legs, where an adult would typically be covered, on a baby, it doesn't cause you to, you know, doesn't require to this name. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is also brought that way. Whereas here again, the Chazon Ish was machmer in this, that anything that's normally covered by a gadol would require nitil shadayim even by a katan. Okay, now when it comes to the hair, so a normative approach is that if you just touch your hair, you don't have to wash your hands. But if you scratch your hair and you get down to the, you know, like to the scalp, right, and to the source of the hair coming out of the scalp, and this, which is typically more mezuham, there's more perspiration and perhaps an accumulation of dirt, whatever, that would require hair. So scratching your hair requires til shadayim, whereas simply touching your hair would not. But we mentioned before, if you get a haircut, you do have to cut your, wash your hands, even if you don't cut your own hair. If someone cuts your hair, you have to wash your hands. What about the person who cuts someone else's hair, and he doesn't, let's see, he's careful, he's not reaching down to the, you know, he's still not scratching the guy's hair, like you'd go back to that barber, and but he's not even really touching the cell, he's so deep down, but he's, you know, he's cutting your hair. So says Machlokas Poskim. The Kaf HaChaim brings that one has to wash his hands even if he cuts someone else's hair. I don't know for sure. I didn't see the Kaf HaChaim inside, but it's not really the impression I got, but I can't say for sure. But Rav Yashiv again here is brought in the Sefer Yivakshim Apiyo breaks that he was making on that. He said you do not have to wash your hands, and certainly if you just, like an upsharing, if you just you give a snip to a 3-year-old and you take one snip of his hair, so that I saw besides from Rav Yashiv, but also from the Halicha Shlomo and the tshuva from Rav Sternbach, the tshuva on Haggos, I saw quoted that you don't have to wash your hands after you know, an upsharing snip of that you did to a 3-year-old. Okay, So
if you cut a child's fingernails, you have to, or
no? There it says also, if you cut someone else's nails, you do not have to cut. You do not have to wash your hands.
No, you don't.
No, yeah. By you cutting his hands, you do not have to wash his, your hands.
But the haircut, you do.
No, so it's machlokas. The Kaf HaChaim said you do, but Rabbi Yashi wrote down saying that you do not. You don't have to wash your hands for that. Okay, now this covers a lot of now. Now some of these are machlokas, though. I mentioned most of the Sheet of the Mishnah Berurah that touching your shoes or even removing your shoes, touching your covered parts of the hair, scratching hair is all else. Nikiyas, not as Ruach Ra. There are shitas that these things do involve Ruach Ra. You're just removing your shoes, and it makes a big nafkamina. Well, it was nafkamina. Let's say you're going to lie down. Let's say you're lying down in the afternoon. So you're not going to be saying Kriya Shema Lamita or anything. You're lying down in the afternoon. So you take off your shoes, and you want to lie right down. So if it's just Nikiyas, like the Mishnah Berurah, so fine. So you don't have to. You lie down. You're not going to be saying anything. You're going to be thinking and learning. Hopefully, yeah, you may be whatever, but that's mutter. You have to think and learning with your dirty hands. You don't have to be clean for that. But so fine. So you wouldn't have to. And the fact that your hands are dirty, there's no need to go wash them. Just lie down when you wake up. You're gonna wash your hands. But if you hold it's ruchra, so then first of all you have to go wash.
Wash your feet. Wash your
gear,
back on.
that's going to work so well.
If you take your shoes off with your feet, then it's no problem.
I saw it brought from Shlomo Zalman, probably in Elisha Shlomo, but I didn't see it brought down that when I was looking over this material, that if you take your shoes off with your feet, then you don't have to. It's only if you take them off with your hands, cholets min lof your hands, then there's ruachra. But if you take them off, you know, if you just kick your shoes off, then there's no ruachra. So even though it's a spiritual thing, because it's not just because you touch your shoes, it's removing the shoes because ruach ra, but still it's only if you remove them with your hands. So it's a big nafkamina. So okay, if you can follow the Mishnah Berurah and then you know follow Shmuel, you wouldn't have to wash your hands if you just took off your shoes. And this to reiterate, I mean, if you know, thinking and learning is okay. We mentioned last week thinking and learning is okay even b'makom. Erva, even if you yourself are not dressed, or if you're in front of a person that's not dressed, or in front of a woman who's not properly dressed, and you know, you're, let's say, in front of one's own wife in an area, you know, where it's okay, but she's not properly dressed, there's nothing wrong with thinking and learning. The only problem is saying the Ritar, and that's the same thing here with this issue. Okay, so we've covered a lot of it. I won't say we've covered every single nekuda that could be here. There's a whole, long list in the various svarim of things where it's nageya, and just look quickly if there's anything else that's particularly relevant that we didn't focus on too much.
So that
you do not. In fact, they bring that even if you bite them all. Even if you remove all of them from the body, you do not. Again, it's only if you cut them, only if you clip them.
Why is that?
It's a spiritual thing. Ruach is a spiritual thing, and that the ruach is caused by clipping them, and similar to kicking your shoes off. Why is that? If you do it in the normal fashion, then it causes ruach. If you do it in this abnormal or unusual fashion,
if someone just tore it off instead of biting it off,
probably be the same issue. That, I would imagine that would not be wrong.
It's only clipping or cutting?
I didn't see that for sure, but yeah. You find that chelik for other things that's not called notal siparna. Notal siparna means you take a kli and you cut and you break him off, biting him off is not called notal siparna. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos because you're not allowed to bite your nails off. But it's would not require it with tila. Okay. All right, petting a dog? I mean, if you get, you know, mamish get into the, maybe down to the, you know, to the skin, but if you just touch the hair on top, I don't think it says so. Well, I saw one place about touching a behemoth tmeya, maybe else ruach, but it's not on most of them. Let me see. So. We can believe there's lav davka. Maybe I'll try to see if I can notice again where. I think I did see somewhere about touching a behemoth mea, but I'm not sure it was on a regular mainstream list or anything, but here I don't see it. Okay, so we'll pause here and just have something else. Okay. All right, isn't everyone?